Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. I'm Mike Webb. This week, ProPublica reporter Sharona Coots spoke to the newest member of our team, senior reporter Sebastian Rotella, about his latest story. It's about Italian arms dealers charged by the Italian government with selling ammunition, helicopters, and other military hardware to Iran. But apparently, the arms didn't always end up in Iran. Right now, police are investigating whether they made it into the hands of the Taliban in Afghanistan and to other military groups. Rotella's story is an intriguing one. It involves a journalist accused of being a spy, fast-talking lawyers, Italian mothers, and careless arms dealers. The allegations in his report are based on transcripts of wiretaps and court documents that Rotella obtained while following the trail of these Italian arms dealers. Coots spoke to Rotella by phone right after he filed the report. She began by asking him, why is this a good ProPublica story?
Well, I think there's a series of levels in which it's a ProPublica story. First of all, you have this whole question of this massive, deadly industry that is arms trafficking, a lot of which focuses right now on Iran because of the embargoes against Iran. There's a lot of illicit trafficking activity that has to do with arms procurement by Iran for its nuclear program, for the military, and things like that. And this is an interesting case because it's a rare inside look at Iranian procurement networks and Iranian intelligence officials actually caught on tape, you know, caught on wiretaps by Italian investigators, which is a rare thing. Another way that it's a ProPublica story is that there's this whole problem that a lot of experts criticize of, despite the embargoes and despite the pressure on Iran because of its nuclear ambitions and its repression of its domestic opposition, several European countries still do great big business with Iran. And this arms trafficking is the dark side of that. And a lot of critics say that what's going on is that there's really pretty lax and limited enforcement and control of exports. So that this case is kind of a rare example where, you know, pretty much legitimate, well-known, politically connected business people are involved in this illicit arms trade. And there's a sense that goes on because there just isn't that much enforcement and that things are pretty brazen and still out in the open in a lot of these cases.
Tell us a little bit more about the human side that you just mentioned. Who are some of the characters that you came across?
Well, one of the main Iranian suspects is an accused spy whose cover was that he was a longtime television journalist for Iranian national television. He was based in Rome. He was well known. He did broadcast reports from Rome on television. He knew a lot of people in politics and journalism. Yet there are, you know, hours of intercepts and wiretaps that show him doing things like setting up a front company that was involved in smuggling weapons to Iran, setting up trips by Italian arms dealers to meet with high-ranking Iranian military officials, and also using his journalistic cover to try and to influence Italian journalists to tone down their coverage of the repression of the Iranian opposition movement. So he was kind of a fascinating character. There's also a political connection. One of the wiretaps shows that that these suspects were paying bribes. They talk about paying bribes to an Italian politician, a kind of combative, far-right, anti-immigrant Italian politician who's been arrested in a separate corruption case and who these suspects talk about being their political protector. So you sort of get a sense of these guys feeling that they can do this kind of activity because they've got this political protection. And the other thing about the human side is, you know, I mean, they talk a lot on the phone. They talk to their mothers. They talk to their wives. They argue with each other. They try and muscle each out of deals. They bicker over debts. You just get a sense that, you know, that these are, on the one hand, sort of sophisticated traffickers in a very sort of deadly business and used to, you know, maneuvering in places like Dubai and Switzerland and Romania and the Balkans. Yet there are also people who complain and lie and express anxiety on the phone and all that. So it's kind of a very vivid and human portrait in that sense.
Your story starts with the discovery of some pieces of I guess weaponry that are called sniper scopes, and they turned up in Afghanistan. Can you tell us about the journey of these sniper scopes and start by telling us what they are?
Sniper scopes are basically telescopic sights that are used on rifles by military snipers. And one of the main things that this ring trafficked in were these sniper scopes. Iran The Iranian spies accused in the case purchased about 1,000 of them, some of which were intercepted in various places. It's one of the examples of the traffic that this group did, and what the Italian traffickers allegedly did was set up front companies and work with arms traffickers in places like Switzerland, Romania, and Dubai to conceal the true destination of the scopes, which was Iran. And on the Iranian side, the Iranian suspects were also running front companies to conceal the fact that the Iranian military was allegedly the purchaser. And they sent different shipments through these different routes, always through third countries and front companies to mask the true purpose. But again, what happens in this case, there are several indications that some of these sniper scopes found their way to battlefields in Afghanistan and in Iraq. The Italian police are looking into evidence of that, and it shows that one of the things that is dangerous about this trafficking is that Iran is allegedly involved in providing weaponry to different proxy forces around the world, like the Iraqi militants, like the Taliban, like Hezbollah, like Hamas.
Yeah, you mentioned in the story that two of the sniper scopes were used in firing on German troops. Do you have any indication of whether anyone was actually injured? Can you tie that knot? In other words, are you able to track back sort of deaths or injuries to this smuggling ring?
The British military, for example, has found two of these kinds of sniper scopes, and the Italians are investigating to see if they're from this ring in the hideout of Shiite militants in Iraq, in Basra, on two occasions. So there's certainly a sense that these were being used by people who were fighting American and European troops.
And what sort of money are we talking about?
Well, we're talking, I mean, there's a mix, because we're talking about the deals that they did, the shipments they did that are known about, and the shipments and the deals that they were negotiating that weren't yet complete. If you add those together, we're talking, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I mean, one of the suspects goes to Iran and sits down with a general and other high-ranking brass and talks about a $20 million deal for helicopters, for example. The sniper scopes are less. The sniper scopes are more, probably the bulk of the sniper scopes is probably a couple of million dollars. But we're talking about, you know, if you add up again what's known, we're talking in the millions. And then there's always the question of what traffic they may have engaged in that isn't known about. I mean, this is a group that was operating at least till since 2007, and the investigators have reconstructed some of a lot of their activity, but they feel they haven't reconstructed all of it, because they're still going through things like computers and a lot of sort of physical evidence to trace all of the activity.
Have you actually reached out to any of the people involved? Have you managed to speak to any of them yourself?
They're in jail. I have talked to several of their lawyers, and it will be interesting to see what happens when the prosecution goes forward. I mean, what the lawyers say different things, but in general, they deny wrongdoing, and what they say is that there's a gray area. What that they say is that these suspects are being overzealously prosecuted for trafficking in things that they didn't feel broke the military embargo. I mean, we'll see what comes of that. Some of the wiretaps seem to suggest, some of the conversations are pretty explicit about these guys being aware of what they're doing is illegal and going out of the way to hide it. But obviously, you know, we'll see what happens. They're innocent until proven guilty, and we'll see what happens as the prosecution goes forward.
How did you come across this story, Sebastian?
For a long time, I've worked quite a bit in Italy, and the Milan police and prosecutors do particularly strong, complex, long-term investigations of corruption, terrorism. This is the same Milan prosecutor's office, for example, that did an in-depth investigation that ended in the conviction of CIA officers in a rendition in 2003. So I was familiar with their work. And when I saw that they had done this investigation of this topic, and again, it was rather unique in Europe to have the Europeans dismantling a procurement ring and saying that they've caught actual Iranian spies, I was really that really appealed to me, because I know, among other things, that those investigations in Italy tend to be quite detailed, and you can usually get hold of a real sense of what went on, because you can get hold of the wiretap transcripts that give you a sense in real time of sort of the details of how the how the criminal operations work and just sort of the human side of it as well. So I was looking at kind of the general topic, and when I saw that the Financial Guard and the Milan prosecutors had done this case, I thought it would be a very sort of vivid and interesting case study of this kind of activity, and I think it turned out to be right.
Well, Sebastian Rotella, thanks very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.
That was ProPublica staffers Sebastian Rotella speaking with Sharona Coots. You can read the full story at ProPublica.org/IranArms. And be sure to visit ProPublica.org to see the latest investigations, blog posts, and news applications, and to sign up for our daily email. This podcast was produced by Brent Gardner-Smith. I'm Mike Webb. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.